Welcome to News Burp, the show that trolls the internet for news and burps its essence in your general direction. My name is Matt, and I hear we fucker over there is Adam.
Hey, I shaved.
Hey, and this is episode number 246, and today I've got stories about a father who was blown up at a gender reveal party, a nun who's broken coronavirus restrictions to attend an exorcism, and if you wear glasses, you don't need the vaccine.
And I have three men and a baby, and... and baby born is getting free petrol for a year. And also, boys who regularly play video games. You play video games?
Regularly.
Well, you have a lower risk of developing depression symptoms, a study finds.
Fucking study is wrong, man. I can tell you straight away.
Alarm bells. It's like, that's not a study. That's guesswork.
Yeah. How's your week been?
How's your week been since
we found out that we're being locked down till the summer?
April is 5th of April, isn't it?
Yeah, but like that's when level 5 is being lifted and we get nudged into 4.8 or whatever the fuck they have made up now at the stage.
And nothing too bad because last week was half term, so everyone was kind of relaxed and chilled. Mm-hmm. No one was rushing off anywhere and now it's back to school stuff this week.
Yeah.
But it hasn't been too bad now. Could be a lot worse now. I gave my blood today.
I
can feel the trembling in my arm. There's been a weird feeling now. I kind of go, oh no, I'm all right.
how long more have you got to do that? Because I know you get to a certain level and then it's just treatment
I think I got another like 2 or 3 months of it. I'm like every 2 weeks kind of going in.
It's mad.
Yeah, if I keep going on the trend that I'm on, it should be maybe 2 or 3 months. Yeah.
And do you still get your tea and toast after?
I do, and now they give me a choice of jams. Recently I'm getting a choice of jams. I'm getting like raspberry or strawberry or just like orange marmalade.
Oh, frequent flyer.
Huh? I know. I'm telling
these are the benefits of a national health service. Choice of jams for your toast.
I'm like, oh my God, is it my birthday? This is delicious. What's silly is this morning I had like toast and jam for my breakfast and I was like, I'm going to have this later on.
What's your favourite sex toy, Adam?
I think if I remember correctly, it's the pussy plunger.
No, man, that's the investment you passed on.
Oh yeah. Oh, this is the head and balls tickler. I like that one.
The head and balls tickler?
Yeah.
Ooh, what's that about?
It's new from Japan. If you give me $500,000 and invest in it, we could be over here and just like sell them like hotcakes. So just give me $500,000.
No, but is credit transfer all right?
Yep. Just sweet. Like that Nigerian prince.
Yeah, you just send me your IBAN and then we'll get this shit going.
Yeah, I'm not doing that. The moment I give you my IBAN, it's like, you have no funds. Weird. And you tell me, look at my widescreen. Oh, yeah?
Look,
yeah, weird.
I can't take anything out of your account with just your IBAN.
No, a normal person can't.
I don't know if I'm proud or offended.
But it's not that you go, give your IBAN? Yeah, I know a guy. It's like, he knows a guy.
Of course he knows a guy.
Either way, he knows guys.
Look, it's either credit transfer or T-bills.
Huh?
T-bills.
T-bills?
Yeah. That's how governments pay banks and stuff. T-bills.
That sounds like butter vouchers.
It does, doesn't it? But it's like, it's as good as cash. But it's like, you know when governments borrow from other governments? And then you got to pay back? It's all bonds and T-bills. So yeah. I can give you a credit transfer or a T-bill.
Yeah, if someone says to me, it's as good as cash, I go, nice. That's what I'm saying. I was like,
no, that's what the government say. I'm not making up this thing going, no, man, I'm good for it. That's not what what's going on here. It really a T-bill like, is an actual thing.
It really sounds like I got 4 kilos of cheese in there. It's good as cash. It's like, Do you want two cows? Two cows, yeah. Good as cash they are. They'll make you money. I don't look after cows. Tell you, that's steak on legs, that is.
Look, depending on where you are and what time of the day it is, cows could be as good as cash.
See, it's just, even just the way you said it there, we just go, oh God, that phrase. Do you want a box of apples? What? It's good as cash. No, it's not. Can't go into like the, go into the ESB like my ma used to do. Go into the ESB shop and pay off electricity bills.
Yeah.
Hey, what's that for? The phone bill. Good as cash that, apparently. Laters.
There's people who try and pay with stamps. It's legal tender.
Don't knock the stamps thing because my ma collects the stamps and like sometimes gives us as like a kind of a present or whatever. And yeah. I gotta go, can you pay for things? Like that's a weekly shop there. Really? And I go, you know it is, but you go to the shop and you kind of go, oh, a book of stamps. Yeah, that's fine, thank you. That's just, it's paper, sticky paper in more paper.
Yeah.
All right, thanks.
You've just exchanged paper for sticky paper.
Yeah, it's more fun that way. Whee! But it is, it's weird. It's a weird way of saving stamps. It's like, what is it? It's €2, that. That stamp is worth €2. Give me €2 then.
Yeah.
But it works.
Yeah. So, do you want to know what my favourite sex toy is?
Yes, please.
It's the clit tickler.
Oh. For your clit?
For my clit. Also, the top speed vibration on it.
Yes.
Works great as an immersion blender for making homemade mayonnaise.
Well, the hardest thing about mayonnaise is keeping that steady mix going as you add the oil.
That's what I'm saying.
So,
you know, and it's USB rechargeable. So,
come on. What more do you need?
Why would I not want a clit tickler?
Make your man mayonnaise.
Oh, see, why didn't I see that coming?
Huh? We are just throwing them out there.
Oh, it's just ejaculating everywhere.
Okay, I think we've reached the end of this.
That's the end of the banter bit. Let's do a show.
Okay, weekly weird updates. You mother.
Hey, Adam.
I'm very upset now.
Hey, Adam.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, we're going to do this again then.
Okay.
Okay. News.
That's it. That's all we need.
Weekly weird whoop dates.
Yeah.
So, I have a couple of stories. I'm happy to go first, unless you want to go first.
No, you've got lots of stories. Hit us with your stories.
Okay, so if I was to ask you about one of my top five things that I don't think need to be a thing.
Yeah.
Could you guess what one of them would be?
They don't need to be a thing. As in like TikTok trends, they don't need to be a thing.
They don't need to be a thing.
Trump is president, that doesn't need to be a thing.
It's done. Get over, man. You know, move forward.
Parrot entertainment shows at zoos. They don't need to be a thing.
Yeah, but they're very good though.
I think they are very good. You know, I take that back. They should be more of those, actually.
I mean, the birds are probably being horribly abused, but, you know, who are we to judge?
Yeah. Ladies' emotional change during the period. That shouldn't be a thing.
Oh, I'm going to move swiftly on over that one. And
I think I find that women would probably agree with me on that. If they could just have the period, like, if they had a choice between, like, having the period and then, like, the emotional things going with it, I think they could go, you know what, we'll do that, the emotion thing happening.
If they could just have their fucking period and just shut up about it.
I don't know. No. No. That's all I'm saying.
That's all I heard, man. And if I heard it, so did everybody else.
No. I'm saying.
I'm surprised as everybody else that on this show, you're the one who turned out to be the horrible misogynist.
No, misunderstanding.
The story is, anyway, okay?
That's a shame.
Number one thing that never needs to be a thing.
Yeah.
Gender reveal parties.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I understand you're excited you're having a baby, right? Or maybe, you know, maybe you just weren't as excited at the start and maybe people knew about it and now you got to show everyone, like, you're super excited to have a baby.
we're really happy this is happening. We're so happy. We're not tired. We're so tired.
The next is the baby shower, and then the next is the... It's just, you know what? Gender reveal parties don't need to be a thing. However, I don't feel that somebody needs to be blown up at one.
But I think the thing about gender reveal parties is it happens like, you know, you have a balloon, you pop it, and there's blue or pink. What I want to do is put purple in it or something, or put two colours in, and kind of go, what? Yeah, it's twins. Oh, shit. So what do you want? Or have nothing in it and go, yeah, we're not pregnant.
Yeah.
Really freak people out.
You know, a kid always should pop it and there's nothing inside it and go, I've got something really sad to tell you.
Oh, no. No. That's awful. That is awful.
Oh, but I know.
Where you go, pop it and it's green, go, it's an alien. Yay. But you have an empty pop. Yep. No confetti.
Yeah, pop. Just a single picture of a white coffin inside it. So anyway, a father-to-be from New York State has died after a device he was building for his child's gender reveal party exploded, according to police.
No.
Christopher Peckney, a fucking name, 28, was assembling the device in the town of Liberty. Of course, he's in a town called Liberty. And it exploded just before noon on Sunday. Sorry. Police said the blast killed Mr. Peckney and injured his brother, Michael Peckney, who was taken to hospital.
Gender reveal party killed him.
Dead.
What was in this little like cannon thing? No, obviously not a little cannon. It was like a... What was it? How was it going to show that it was a boy or a girl?
I don't know. But what's the colour for bastard? Or orphan?
Oh. Maybe it's not the colour. Maybe it's just like one single solitary like piece of confetti. Just floats down. Oh, that's awful.
It is, you know. But also, yeah, I hate to be this guy, but I think we've already started down the path of this particular tone for the show.
Yeah.
Is that if you're going to have a gender reveal party that involves explosions and you die, I don't feel sorry for your child.
Well, it's kind of a, what's that, Darwinism?
Yeah.
It's that it, you kind of think of that, you kind of think, well, for one, you think, like, this guy was going to make a human being and raise them.
Mm-hmm.
So I see, yeah, your point is, maybe it's best that another human being isn't being raised by this idiot.
Yes.
But
because then the mini idiot grows up to do what the big idiot taught them to do.
Yeah.
Which would have been bringing lots of explosions for a pointless reveal ceremony.
Yeah.
You can do the same thing on Facebook. You can just update your status. That's it, done. Bosh.
In the same way, you do kind of feel sad that that kid's dad died celebrating his life.
I love that we're like, you know, different sides of the same coin.
Yeah.
You know, you're like the little angel on the shoulder. I'm like the little devil pissing in your ear.
Yeah. I'm there with a towel and you're like, just waiting for you to leave. Waiting for you to finish. It's like, no, he has to finish. I can't just like go up to him and like say, no, don't piss his ear. I just sort of wait there with a mop going, he's nearly done.
He'll tire himself out.
Yeah, he's going to, is he shaking? There he goes. There he goes. Now he's gonna have a nap now. And while he's taking a nap, I'm just going to clean that up. Okay, you're okay. You're a good person.
I'm not done.
That's you talking in your sleep. You're a silly cunt.
Exactly. Have you been in my house?
Yeah.
So, police have not specified what the device was that caused Sunday's explosion. All they know is that the bomb disposal unit is investigating the incident. I mean, it's not much to dispose of now. Your man did that already.
did your man just tell no one? He just went, no, this is gonna be class. What are you doing? Popping a balloon. Blow your mind is what I'm gonna do, son. Blow your mind.
Yeah, kaboom. Speaking to the newspaper, Mr. Peckney's oldest brother, Peter Peckney Jr.
Oh, come on.
I love it. Described what happened as described what happened as the freakiest of freak accidents that could ever imagine. He did not know what set off the explosion. The death is the latest in a string of catastrophes linked to gender reveal parties in recent years. This is, if ever you were going to believe that the universe is in control of what's happening, this is the universe in control of what's happening by stopping these idiots from promoting the idea of gender reveal parties.
And just, once you hear the first death, someone died at a gender reveal party. Well, Jesus, I better not make the same mistake they did. Right, what did they do? Well, they tried to be bigger and better than everybody else. That sounds class. Yeah. I'm going to do that.
Yeah. Wasn't it recently that was it fires in California or Australia or somewhere that was started by a gender reveal party?
Oh, that's hilarious. I haven't heard that.
Is that a thing? Maybe I'm making it up. I don't know. My mind's a bit fuzzy on the whole situation.
That's okay.
Usually people can put small, according to this article, they put together small fireworks displays or smoke bombs and smoke grenades and Chinese lanterns and all that kind of jazz. However, this guy had what was described as a small cannon type device.
Holy fucking!
Thought he was a fucking pirate.
A cannon type device. What was it? It was a cannon.
It was a cannon.
What's he doing with that? Yeah. I think he found it on eBay. Cannon, yeah, yeah,
yeah.
You know himself. Get those t-shirt guns.
Yeah.
Compressed air, that's what you need. Unless the compressed air explodes, but just put it in that.
But you see then, you've seen No Country for Old Men.
Yeah.
Your man's weapon is just compressed air.
Yeah.
You get people doing stupid shit like that.
It boggles the mind, doesn't it?
It does.
It is a thing of, it's just I'm going to make it bigger and better. I wonder, is it the whole TikTok, Instagram thing where someone's going to film this, and when it's put on Instagram and TikTok and Facebook, I'm going to be a fucking ledge?
I don't know. I really do think it's just an attention thing, or it's a, you know, I don't know what it is. I don't know. Maybe I'm just too cynical for it, but if it's your first baby, people are going to be happy for you.
Yeah.
You know, because it's your first, and especially if you want the baby. If it's a thing of congratulations, and then it's we didn't want it, but we're dealing with it, then it's well, then there's never going to be a gender reveal party for that one, is there?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's just we get you're happy, you know, we'll do the baby shower, we'll do the christening thing, we'll send around a gift when the baby's born, we'll check in, we'll do all that. But we need to turn up and politely smile as you pop a balloon and,
well, maybe that's it. Maybe it's actually a bit more selfish. It's kind of we're going to a gender reveal party. Oh, what presents are you bringing? What? Have to bring a present. And then at the baby shower, you have to bring a present for the baby shower. And baby's born. You're going to its first birthday? Jesus, what are we doing now?
Yeah.
More presents. So I think it's just get more shit for the baby. So
what are we doing now? Monetizing.
Baby needs to go to college. Yeah, that's your job, son. But I wonder, is it Because a parent knows that people are going to bring presents, so we should probably put on a bit of a show for them.
Mm-hmm.
So the bigger the show, and what you get, my, will be newborn baby, little teddy in the cardigan. Really, I just brought in a cannon, and you brought me a teddy and a cardigan. Oh, that's a big shit. Maybe I'm just gonna want a pistol.
I would have brought a T-bill.
It's good as cash, man. Good as cash.
It's like every time I got a present from like my dad's side of the family, it was always like prize bonds. You know, it's good as cash there. You go into every draw for them, you do. I know somebody that just won like 14 million from the prize bonds. Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, he was in it for 32 years, but, you know, he got there.
Matt, you know, if you have all those prize bonds, I would love if you've actually won like four of them already and you just haven't checked them. It's like,
I don't know where any of them are. And it's like cryptocurrency. You can't do anything without the little certificate.
Brilliant. Well, that's you fecked, isn't it?
I've already smoked a lot of weed while thinking about that.
Ah, okay.
So it's best not to go down that road again.
You know I won't.
Because it would be my luck where, you know, all the prize bonds I've had over the years that are well gone, that have won, and there's millions sitting there waiting for me.
True. True that.
Yeah. Do you know what happened? I'd end up as a fucking lyric in an Alanis Morissette fucking song. That's what happened.
Yeah, you would. You got one hand in your pocket.
Yeah, and the other one
just cracking
on my dick.
He's tickling the shaft.
So, you know how I feel about nuns, Adam. We've had this conversation many times.
Well, it depends where you're, like, if it's Sister Act, you're kind of like, nah. If it's on Pornhub, you're kind of like, oh, hello, where's that crucifix going?
I got real specific, real quick. A window into Adam Lynch. During the pandemic.
Yeah.
Go on. No, I have the utmost respect for nuns.
Oh, okay.
I really don't. I couldn't care less. But there's a New Zealand Sister Anne Marie who breached COVID restrictions in Ireland so that she could attend an exorcism.
She came from New Zealand to Ireland.
Yeah, well, she was born in New Zealand, but she's living here now.
Okay, grand.
Oh, I think they just put in all those locations and nationalities just to fill up the headline.
Headline's really kind of like quick and snappy.
Really, yeah, it doesn't really make a difference to the story, I don't think. Yeah. A New Zealand-born nun has been caught breaching COVID-19 restrictions in Ireland to attend an exorcism.
In Ireland?
In Ireland. The Irish Examiner is reporting that Sister Anne Marie was one of a pair of nuns who broke COVID guidelines to attend an exorcism of the doll before Christmas.
A doll exorcism?
No, the doll, our parliament.
Oh. It's a terrible name for it. It's really confusing. The exorcise the doll? Jeez, well, didn't really work, did it?
No, not really. The two Cork-based sisters attended the exorcism in Dublin on December the 8th at a time when inter-county travel was banned.
Jesus.
I mean...
They probably said, travelling for work days, we're doing the Lord's work, and then took out a ruling and slapped the guard on the hand and just drove on.
We're on a mission from God. A video has appeared online which shows the exorcism. Holy shit, I didn't know about that. I'm going to have to look that up. A video has appeared online which shows the exorcism and a subsequent mass in Herbert Park, South Dublin. The pair have been fundraising in recent months after being ordered to leave their religious retreat. The Examiner reported they had raised more than €127,000 in crowdfunding.
God.
Mother Irene Gibson of a group called the Carmelite Sisters of the Holy Face of Jesus. Where did they come up with these names?
I think, isn't that like what our ma's and our aunties would say when you'd come home like with mud up to your knees? Jesus, Mary, Joseph, and the Holy Face of Jesus. Huh? Just like they wouldn't say, you're fucking idiot. God.
All the donkeys in the stables and the big toe of Joseph. What's wrong with you?
Just trying to think of other ones, but
that's,
just go on
exactly
and on.
That's exactly what it is. That's all the things your nanny used to shout at you, and you'd never hear anything like it apart from when she was so exasperated.
I know, but you knew the longer it went on, the more in trouble you were. Like, or they were just so shocked. Jeez, Mary, just the left testicle of the donkey, huh? Stadia, yeah, fell in mud.
Mother Irene Gibson of that particular order was ordained to vac was or not ordained was ordered to vacate the compound near the village of Leap in West Cork by next June. That followed a 2019 conviction for breaching planning regulations in relation to the premises, which she set up as a religious retreat in 2016. The Irish Times earlier reported Sister Anne Marie, formerly Hannah Loman of Wanganui. What the f? No, no, not doing that. yeah, so basically, this nun has been acting the bollocks for a while.
Chance, is she?
Yeah, so when she was caught at the checkpoint, she was like, yeah, I'm going to an exorcism.
You going? No.
Why wouldn't you say you were going home to whatever fucking convent you were going home to?
But like,
also, it was because we went into lockdown in December. We went down in Christmas Eve, but before that there was no inter-county travel allowed.
Yeah.
So that happened on December the 7th, if I remember correctly, which means that, of course, the checkpoints were out in force on December 8th. Why not leave it for like the weekend and go out Monday?
Look, did you find a loophole again? Monday. It'll wait.
I need to take note of that. I need to look up that exorcism video.
I don't think it's going to be like the film.
What?
I don't think it's going to be like the film. I'm guessing the two of them are just kind of walking around with incense and holy water and just kind of muttering stuff for like the first half hour.
I'm still fascinated that in this day and age they would think an exorcism is a thing.
It is funny.
So I'm gonna go look it up, but I just thought it was funny. Anyway,
two albums just like screaming "The Power of Christ Compels Thee" in the doll, just like, and throwing holy water and incense, makes me laugh.
Fantastic, wouldn't it be fantastic?
Power of Christ compels thee. The power of Christ compels thee.
Well, in fairness, there'll be no difference between that and whenever Healy Ray gets up to speak. You know what I mean?
I know, especially with that accent. I know it's Kerry and Cork, but Jesus,
Healy Ray's. Anyway, let's go. Last story that I've got for you. Glasses wearers, you know, intelligent people like me.
I see you.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, apparently, you ready for this?
Yeah.
We're up to 3 times less likely to catch coronavirus.
Really? Is that because your eyes are protected?
Yeah.
Well, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
I am delighted for you.
I don't need a vaccine now because...
You're blind.
That's. I need so many glasses that nothing's ever getting through here.
Well, that's fantastic.
Yeah. Long-term use of spectacles may prevent repeated touching and rubbing of the eyes, researchers say. People who wear glasses could be up to 3 times less likely to be infected by coronavirus. One way the virus can enter the body is by people touching their eyes, nose, or mouth after coming into contact with it, which, yeah. Mm-hmm. People who wear glasses touch their eyes less.
Because they're wearing glasses, I suppose.
Because they're wearing glasses. So we're less dirty than you scumbags.
All right.
So I'm in here saving lives, sitting here not being able to see naturally.
Yes.
And you over there with your vision that doesn't need correcting.
With your 20/20 vision. That was a shit year.
Yeah. Yeah. You're the one responsible for all of it, you bat fucker.
Fuck. Jesus Christ.
That took a left turn, didn't it?
Yeah. God.
Let's see. In a non-peer-reviewed study published on the website Med something, can't pronounce it, the researchers studied 304 people at a hospital in northern India over 2 weeks last summer. The patients were aged between 10 and 80 and all had reported COVID symptoms. The researchers found participants touched their face up to 23 times an hour on average and their eyes an average of 3 times per hour. They found the risk of contracting COVID-19 was 2 to 3 times lower among those who wear glasses.
Interesting.
Yeah. So when I'm ordered to get the vaccine, I'll be like, no. Okay.
You're going to be one of those martyrs. Let them go first, for I am a glass wearer.
Yeah.
Please,
I don't need your autism. Thanks very much.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and people in Australia are refusing to take the vaccine. And you know how I know that's bullshit? Because Australia doesn't exist because they're all actors. Because the world is flat and there's nothing underneath us.
They're all actors. But Australia can still exist.
No, Australia doesn't exist. This is the thing. Have you ever been to Australia?
No, but my brother was born there.
No, he wasn't.
That was actually Cornwall. Oh, silly me.
So I don't know what lies he's been telling you. I know what he's trying to hide there, but you know, there's no such thing as Australia. So anyone, like even Australians, don't come from Australia.
Right. Okay, so where did they come from? What's that piece of land called?
It doesn't exist.
Okay.
It can't be called anything if it doesn't exist, Adam.
So what? So where do they make Home and Away and Neighbours?
I'll tell you where they don't make it.
Yeah.
It's Australia.
Okay. Yeah.
Because if the world if the world, Adam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well done.
If the world was round, yeah.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be able to see over there, you know.
Yeah.
Like I wouldn't be able to see the end of your sitting room.
I know,
because the curvature of the earth would stop that happening.
I know, because the earth that you picture is the size of like a beach ball.
Look, physics is the same thing.
Physics is a beach ball. The new book by Dr. Matt McGurk.
PhD Esquire.
You're not an Esquire.
No, I'm sorry. I was misleading everybody.
You're silly.
What were we talking about?
I think you finished.
Fair enough. So I'll take that hint. What have we got?
I don't know if you're finished or not. So men become the first thruple to have three dads legally put on child's birth certificate. Okay, so I'll let you breathe. A thruple have made legal history after a court allowed three dads to be named on their children's birth certificates. Ian Jenkins, Alan Mayfield and Jeremy Ellen Hodges used donated embryos and surrogates to welcome their two children, daughter Piper and son Parker, into the world. The trio made legal history in 2017 when a judge allowed them to be on the birth certificate of Piper, which was a huge milestone for polyamorous families to gain recognition in the US. Ian, a doctor, told us, one of Jeremy's friends offered us embryos and they had left from making their family through IVF but couldn't use. We had the option to adopt the embryos to make the decision to raise a unique family. We did have a slight attention to the fact that our kids might be perceived differently. We didn't want them to become a target of teasing or bullying or online abuse. We've had zero pushbacks from anyone in professional or personal lives. Our eldest now is in preschool and the other parents and kids are like, cool, tell us your story. Despite many people accepting their domestic setup, the biggest challenge came before Piper was born because restrictive laws were preventing them from building a family through surrogacy. The big challenge for us was the legal challenges. So with surrogacy, you have to have a percentage order or parentage order from the court declaring who will be the legal parents. At the beginning there, we weren't sure that we could all three of us be on the birth cert. So it came to a court process. We argued it in court. It was a pretty interesting, tense courtroom scene. At first, it seemed we were not going to be granted. And then we were, basically. The problem is, like, there's no problem.
No.
Because, well, I do kind of see, like, having three parents, that's a lot of voices.
Raising the kids. I just have one question.
Yes.
Just one question.
Yes, yes.
Because you're better with numbers than I am.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Right. Two kids. Okay. That means because it was through donated embryos. I'm assuming.
Yes.
Or donated eggs or donated embryos, like embryos or eggs.
It says embryos. Donated embryos.
So donated fertilized eggs, embryos. Yeah.
I think so.
Okay. So, are any one of those three the other half of the egg, like the sperm of the egg, to make that the embryo?
I don't think so. Embryos, like you say, they are fertilized eggs. Is that right?
Yeah. Okay. So well, then I guess I have more than one question. Because if it's two embryos, even if the sperm came from the men, that still only equals two people on the birth cert.
I suppose so.
If you and Tina had a baby and you were like, you know what, we got to put Matt in the birth cert. I reckon there'd be questions. There would be a few questions. But like, we couldn't walk into a solicitor's office and go, hey, what's the legal paperwork we got to go through to get this guy on our kid's birth cert?
I'm guessing if the embryo, like, it didn't have any connection with the three dads. Okay? So all three dads are on, like, the same kind of level. Like, no one was donated, none of them made the egg. So they're all coming at it from one level of, we want to be the legal guardian of this child.
Okay.
So they're all coming with that argument. So
I'll accept that argument then. That answers my questions. That's fine.
But I just think it's a lot of voices. I mean, I have two friends who are trying to, they're going through the whole surrogacy thing of getting a child, two lads. Mm-hmm. And they're documenting the whole thing on like Facebook and Instagram and all that kind of stuff to make it, mm-hmm. to let like other gay couples know how kind of easy or difficult it is.
Yeah.
But in this situation, like, that's not, I just think three voices. I mean, if I was a kid, I would love it. Because you can play them off each other like no one's business. But like, it's easy to kind of play like one off another, you know. But having three, it must be fun for a kid to kind of go, wait, you see, I'm going to fuck this over.
And I mean, excuse me, I don't know. It's like a, of course, the whole three men and a baby.
Yeah.
Three men and a lady, little lady. Yeah. Three men and a lady is a different movie. So
two girls in a cup.
No, don't do it. No, not even for me.
Sounds the same thing, though.
No, it's not the same thing. It's not the same thing.
Okay.
neither is the Boston Tea Party. Don't look that up.
Yeah. But it's more the amount of voices or the amount of opinions just all being thrown to the mix. I just wonder how they get on that way.
Yeah. Look, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I reckon to be like, see, the thing about three is, you know, like when there's two parents.
Yeah.
There are occasions that arise where it's like one parent wants to do one thing. The other parent wants to do another thing, but when you've got three, that's a democracy.
Oh, you're saying it comes to the vote.
It comes to the vote. The third one's going to be like, oh, shit. And like if you're a really manipulative sociopath as a child, you can really manipulate that situation.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. If you're the kid,
yeah,
you're thinking, oh, this is class. But if you're in that, like, thruple,
it's what? Why? Trouble?
Well, that's the word it's given here. But I think, like, and because it's like it's three men, so like if they're all like if they all have like have a relationship and a
is this like one of those polyamorous relationships with the three men?
Yeah, like they love each other equally. They are a thruple. They are a unit.
All right, I don't foresee any problems with that down the line.
I know this one's saying. It's like you say, if they have a democracy and they go, okay, we're voting. Yeah, we'll vote. There's three of us. And two go against one. How does that one guy feel? It's like,
yeah,
I guess I'm in the couch, am I?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, no, join us. No, I'd rather be in the couch. Okay, I'll have a vote in it. Yeah, I win. And just have a Like, that's got to be hard to, like, get back in together, you know?
I mean, look, you just got to treat it like a co-op. You just got to go in there with equal responsibility and equal investment. And I wish them all the best in their future endeavors.
Absolutely, because that is not going to be fucking easy.
No, it really isn't.
Now, video game players. Okay.
Yes.
You wear glasses. You play video games. I'll tell you, life is looking good for you, son. Because boys who regularly play video games have a lower risk of developing depression symptoms, study finds. So a new study has found that young boys who regularly spend time playing video games are less likely to develop depressive symptoms later on in life. Researchers from the University College of London used data from 11,341 youngsters, 11-year-olds to be precise, looking at their usage of social media, gaming, and the internet. 3 years later, scientists checked back in the youngsters, and by the age 14 of the course, of course, and asked them questions about depressive symptoms such as low mood, poor concentration, and loss of pleasure. They found that the boys who had played video games most had a 24% reduction in depression 3 years on, compared to the boys who played video games less than once a month. However, the researchers say this effect was only significantly found in boys with low levels of physical activity, and it was not found among girls. The study led author appears this Aaron Condola from UCL. He says screens allow us to engage in a wide range of activities. Guidelines and recommendations about screen time should be based on our understanding of how these different activities might influence mental health and whether that influence is meaningful. While we cannot confirm whether playing video games actually improves mental health, it didn't appear harmful in our study and may have some benefits, particularly during the pandemic. Video games have been an important social platform for young people. So this is all, you know, instead of just going on a Zoom call, kind of going, how's your week?
Yeah.
It's grand. They're actually engaging and it's kind
engaging of... engaging in activity with each other, yeah.
Yeah, and it, I suppose they have an aim, so you take the left, I'll take the right, I'm going in the middle.
Yeah.
I presume it's a violent game. We need to reduce how much time children and adults spend sitting down for their physical and mental health, but that doesn't mean that screen use is inherently harmful. A scientist also found that girls who spent more time using social media were more likely to develop depressive symptoms. Okay? So, girls aren't really on the... Like, I know there are girls that play video games, but when girls are on a screen, it's mostly social media. So 11-year-old girls who use social media for were 13 times more likely to report depressive symptoms 3 years later than those who only use social media less than once a month. Isn't that mad?
Well, it actually doesn't surprise me at all, because social media, I think it's so negative,
and
especially these days. The idea behind social media started off as what it's described as, which is social media. It was a way to bring... It was a way to make the world smaller, so even if you're on the other side of the world, you could still chat to somebody or keep in touch or keep up date with what they're getting up to, and it was positive. And then it's been fucking just distorted over the last 20 years to the point where it's unrecognisable from what it was to start off with.
Yeah, I mean,
it's
just
poisonous.
It changed the world to troll and catfish.
Yeah.
It's like, catfish was... What's catfish? It's a fish that looks like a cat. What's a troll? Yeah. It's a mythical creature that lives under a bridge. And now it actually means something. If you're a catfish or a troll, it means you're a bit of a cunt.
Yeah. Well, look, I mean, social media has given people the opportunity to be anonymous and nasty to each other, to the point where they'll be nasty and anonymous to you in real life.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And, like, I'm all for honesty, but there's a difference between being honest and being nasty, and people on the internet are not honest. They're fucking nasty.
But it's when
and I think it's transferring into real life, and just because people are spending more time on social media, it's become more of a practiced thing where it's just like, I don't like this, and I'm going to tell them, I'm going to, you know, complain about it or get nasty about somebody's opinion or whatever. I just don't like it.
Yeah. They say something really fucking nasty, and at the end they just go, I'm just being honest. I'm just telling my truth.
No. Yeah. Well, my truth is you're a cunt.
Yeah.
And then you call them a cunt, and you get tossed off Twitter or something. I don't know. Unfortunately, it's not what it started. I think it started off with some very... Maybe I'm being very naive and saying that it started off with, like, good intentions to, like, you know, communicate and make it easier to share ideas, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. But now it's just distorted to the, you know, it's unrecognizable to me as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, well, now it is just advertising and throwing opinions.
Yeah, yeah. And I think it is nasty. And I personally don't see anything wrong with video games. Of course, I do play video games, but it doesn't, you know, if it's taken over your life, I suppose, like anything else, it becomes a problem. But like the actual games themselves are just, you know, like it's more involved because you go online and all your mates are there.
Yeah,
you're getting involved with them.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? And especially in the pandemic when you can't get out, and I know a lot of people play football or do whatever, you can't get out and get your weekly five-a-side with your mates. So like, you know, why not go online and play FIFA?
Yeah,
it's still you're still keeping in contact with people, but social media is not keeping in contact with people. Social media is keeping tabs on people, and I don't like it.
Ah, oh, geez, that's a great thing. Keeping tabs, not keeping in contact.
I think it is though, because like if you like, I only use Facebook genuinely for this and for Pandemic Pantry, and if I didn't have them, I wouldn't be on Facebook.
Yeah.
I only open it up, and if a notification pops up, I'll look at it, and if it's anything of interest, I'll look into it, and if not, I'll just close the app again.
Yeah, I kind of skim through it. Even Facebook, I'm not really on it. It's like Facebook, yeah, I'm on it, but it's not like my morning read. I go to Google and I read the news, and then that's my morning read. But people are just like, you know, I was on Facebook. Like the people who start off, I was on Facebook the other day, and you were on Facebook all day, weren't you? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was, yeah.
Yeah.
And you'll never guess what. Oh, I don't want to guess. Just, if it's on Facebook, everyone knows.
Yeah, I'm just not a fan of social media. Plus, I don't understand it. It's constantly changing. The trends are changing. Apps are changing. How to share your content, how to communicate. If you want to use these things to express yourself, I'm all for that, especially in the pandemic. You know, keep your mind busy, express yourself, get creative. I'm all for that. But the methods and how to do that, and then people are competing for likes instead of just having a creative outlet. Like, do you remember, you probably, because I know you write as much as I do.
Yeah.
So, like, that's like a creative outlet. It doesn't necessarily mean anybody's ever going to read it, but we do it for ourselves. Where it seems to be like a massive thing where people are being creative online, and they're in competition with other people who are being creative online. It's like, just be creative. Just fucking get it out of yourself.
Yeah. That's sad, because I joined you know, kind of like writers and filmmakers and videographer kind of groups.
Yeah.
And, like, I have to say that most of them are supportive. They say, people going, oh, just finish the scene, tell me what you think. And you read through the thing and people are giving like, oh, I love this, but maybe think of that, or what happens to this character? Is he going to, and it's like, oh, God, that's really nice. But you do know that without those kind of supportive groups, where if it's just a guy going, oh, I wrote a screenplay, good luck with that.
Yeah. I know, I get that. It's like, people need kind of support and encouragement, and, you know, you need some kind of sense of, you know, I suppose what I'm doing here is worthwhile, I suppose. But it's the constant baiting for attention and trying to do one up for the next person.
Yeah, that sucks.
Do you know what I mean? It's like, it's I suppose technically they're content creators, but they're not creating content, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Like, they're creating, like, visuals and sounds to watch, but it's not, to me, it's not content.
Yeah.
You know, it's a copy of somebody else's content or whatever. This is a whole other conversation. Don't like social media is the bottom line.
On that note, I'm finished.
All right. There we go. Well, do you know what? From social media to some good news.
Good news.
Let's do some good news.
Let's hope this goes well.
Yeah.
This is the part of the show where we talk about happy and chirpier stuff. There won't be stories about a pervert running around in a buff. So here's just a few things that we won't talk about in this segment. war and hunger, and the language won't be vulgar. Politics and naked chicks and men doing stuff with their dicks. So sit back, relax, and kick off your shoes. And for once, let's just have some good news.
Oh, I'm already in a better mood.
You see? That's your voice.
That's the voice is questionable, but it's a good little ditty, isn't it?
Ah, it's a fucking great one, lad. Fucking great one.
I do feel better now. Do you want to hear my good news story?
Please.
So scientists in Yale, that's the university, not jail in Sweden, have repaired an injured spinal cord by using a patient's own stem cells.
Holy crap. That's pretty impressive.
That is impressive. Intravenous injection of bone marrow-derived stem cells in patients with spinal cord injuries led to significant improvement in motor functions, researchers from Yale University and Japan found in a February report called the Journal of Clinical Neurology and Neurosurgery.
That is amazing.
For more than half of the patients, substantial improvements in key functions such as ability to walk or use their hands were observed within weeks of stem cell injection, the researchers report. No substantial side effects were reported.
That is...
What, like, I don't want to rip off Family Guy, but why are we not funding this?
Why are we not funding this?
Like, you can see how fast, like, the world literally just went, yeah, here's money, just fucking get a vaccine.
Yeah.
For coronavirus. Like, imagine if they did it with like this kind of stuff. I imagine we'd evolve straight away to like these grey bodied giant black eyed alien figures from the future.
You think?
Yeah.
You think we're just going to be like superhumans?
Superhumans. Like, imagine, like, if we actually focused on some of the things that could really progress us as a race rather than, you know,
money.
Yeah.
See, I think it's always just going to boil down to that. Science is going to go, we can make the world better. And someone who owns that company is going to go, class, it can make me lots of money, which means not everyone can have it. But we make it to improve everybody. Yes, but you make it to make me money. All right? Mm-hmm. Good lad.
Yeah.
It's always going to boil down to that.
Like, I suppose, I don't know. I think more so, and I know it's all still very much experimental, but like the evidence towards like most studies into these stem cells seems to be pointing towards a positive rather than a negative.
Yeah,
you know,
but being our cynical selves, you want to, like, they release the good news.
Mm.
It's not like in the film The Fly, he tells everyone about the inverted monkey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's like, I invented time travel. Yeah, what's that? What's that mess over there? That's my inverted baboon. Oh, do you want to go to transporter? No.
Yeah. But anyway, I think it's, look, if anyone is paralyzed, either born, you know, kind of without the use of any limb, or if it happens, you know, later on or whatever, like, this kind of stuff is, like, literally life-changing again, you know, that kind of way?
Yeah.
So, like, I mean, imagine being paralyzed and thinking that you're never going to walk again, and suddenly somebody says, actually, we'll just take some of your stem cells and pop them in here, and, you know, with some other treatments and obviously physiotherapy and everything, all that other kind of crap, you can walk again. Would you not be like, why has nobody done this already?
Yeah. It's like, how long have you known this? About 4 years. Why are you just telling me now? Funding. Brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sure, we did a story a couple of weeks ago about the guy who had the kind of exoskeleton being able to walk on the beach.
Yes.
Imagine him going, hang on, I don't need the exoskeleton. Nope. You can be walking on the beach in 2 years.
Yeah.
Yes, please.
Yes, I'll have some of that. Thanks very much.
Take my stem cells. Oh, whatever.
Yeah.
Mine's not as amazing as that. It's just like a nice story.
All right, well, let's have your nice story.
Kildare baby, Irish baby, born on Apple Green's forecourt. So Apple Green is like a chain of...
A soulless money sponge on the Irish economy.
Well, this is going to make this story even nicer then, with that opinion. So this baby gets free petrol for a year.
The baby with no license to drive, nor ownership of a vehicle, gets free petrol for a year. Good job, Apple Green, you PR hungry hearers. Sorry, this is good news. I'm sorry.
They played that well, didn't they? That baby gets free petrol for a year. Well, we're the parents. Do we get petrol? No, the baby gets petrol. Baby. If the baby drives, the baby gets petrol.
Yeah, we're going to need to see some ID on purchase as well, by the way.
So, there's a few better places to be born than on the forecourt of Kildare petrol station. The hospital, for one, or failing that, just in the gaff. Or, if we're being totally honest, pretty much anywhere other than a petrol station. But sometimes you don't get to pick, as one mother found out when she went into labour last week, but didn't manage to make it as far as Dublin's Coombe Hospital. Instead, their newborn baby, Ellie, was delivered by ambulance staff at an Apple Greens petrol station in Carra, County Kildare. Now, the petrol company are giving the parents, Naomi Galvin and John Fern, free petrol for a year to celebrate. So the parents do get it, which is lovely.
Yeah.
The ambulance crew was just brilliant. They were so calm and reassuring throughout that everything went incredibly smooth, said John. They're a credit to the frontline workers and we'll always be grateful to them. It wasn't the birth we were expecting, but Naomi took everything in her stride and we couldn't be happier with our new baby. Trevor McBride, Apple Green's regional manager of Kildare, offered the family 365 days of free fuel as a way of saying congratulations to the new parents. So yeah.
Yeah, that's lovely. I wonder will they do you know what I'd do? I'd be sending fucking family members up to Apple Green to just fill their tanks up, because where are they driving in a pandemic?
But that's the thing. I'd be like, free petrol for a year. Get the jerry cans. Yeah. Fill them up, please. Just go in your own tanker.
Yeah. You could just buy all the petrol you wanted, or diesel, everything, and then just store it and resell it.
Yeah, if you could.
Oh, win-win. I think I'm gonna contact them. We're gonna run an idea by them.
Just say, hi, my name is John Fern. Oh yeah? Yeah. Don't I have like free petrol for a year? Yeah, you do. Cool. Can you like put it in like a big barrel and send it to this address, please?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So can you divert like your next 4 deliveries just to like this holding area over here, please? For a year? Free petrol? I reckon this is like a gentleman's handshake kind of thing. I don't think there's any contracts involved yet, so I think I'm going to contact the recipients of this and see if we can work out a deal.
You do that. Let me know how you get on.
Fuck, I don't think this could be, this is like Lex Luthor level genius right here.
I guess it's near like your old neck of the woods. Carra, where's Carra? That's North Carra, isn't it?
Who? Where? What? No,
Carra.
I don't know where that is.
Oh, yeah.
I only live 15 minutes away from you. I don't know where you're talking about.
Well, you were in Lucan.
That's not Kildare, that's Dublin.
But it's right beside Kildare.
Yeah, but...
Come on, man.
I don't know.
Okay, you're grand. You're grand. Hey, don't worry about it.
Look, geometrics is not my strong point.
So that and numbers. Good to know.
Where can people find us, Adam?
The best place to find us is at our website, www.thenewsburp.com, for all the links to our shows. At the bottom of the page, you'll find links to TeePublic, where you'll find our cartoon faces slapped across our... You're pointing at the screen, are you all right? Oh, you're just talking. Oh, yeah. You'll find our character faces slapped across the merch, such as T-shirts and hoodies and tote bags and badges and all. There's also a link to... Not PayPal. What's the other one? PayPal.
PayPal, yeah. PayPal also, by the way, I've added a new thing in TeePublic.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, you can now get our faces on Click Tickler.
That's a new one. I'm sure they'll just fly off the shelves like hotcakes.
Click Tickler / mayonnaise immersion blender.
I'm guessing that's what they're going to be used for mostly.
Click tickling.
I'm guessing just, making just mayonnaise. Make sure just one. Also at the bottom of the screen, you'll find a link to Patreon, www.patreon.com/newsburp, where you can get some extra stuff. So you can get the video of the show, which is, you know, it's delightful. You can get an ad-free version of the show, and you can also get our top five and our Florida Mans, depending on how much money you get. But also, for the smallest amount of money, you get a shout-out, and the shout-outs go out to...
Kevin Fagan, Aaron Endrell, and Aaron Aaron Eldred, Fiona Cleary, Nathan Peterson, Paul Blunson, Sharon Ryan, Alexander Henry, and a big welcome to Sarah Beck, our latest patron. Thank you so much
for all the
support. It's another lady. It's becoming less and less of a sausage party, and more of a clam packet.
I thought you were just going to say a G disco.
Wow. But yeah, thank you so much for your support over on Patreon. It really, really means a lot to us. If you can't support us in that way, it would be great if you could just subscribe to us, give us a review, give us a thumbs up or a star, or whatever you listen to us, give us something positive, or get in touch with us. We'll be setting up an email address this week, which will be info@thenewsburp.com.
Oh, I love it.
Where you can send us in the stories and get in more touch with us if you want to.
Get in more touch. Fantastic.
Get in more touch and teach us how to speak England. All right. Brilliant. But for now, go on, do one. I'm done. Good day, right here. Go on. Bye.
Bye.